It was Oswald Chambers that said it best and said it first. When they asked what the secret of guidance was, he said it was trust God and take the next step. What a great line. Trust God and take the next step. And there's always another step. There'll always be a step waiting for you. There's no situation that will ever come. You take the next step. Your house burns down, you check into insurance. You know, there's always something to do beyond that moment. And so I'd want this morning, in these moments that we have together here, to talk about knowing God's will. Nothing greater than that. There's just something wonderful about knowing that you're in the will of God, doing the things of God, and that God's pleased, that you're on track. Nobody wants to be out of sync with the Lord and somehow off course, but to be in the center of His will. You know, as I stand here today, I'm in the will of God. For this moment, for this time right now, it'll have to adjust in the days ahead and the days ahead and the days ahead. But today, I think I can announce I'm in the will of God. And most people are in the will of God. Somebody say, oh, Brother Owen, would you pray with me? I just want to know if I'm in the will of God. I don't know if I'm in the will of God. And I say, do you think you're in the will of God right now? Yeah, I think so. But then don't worry about the rest. The rest will take care of itself. If you're in the will of God today, you'll automatically be in the will of God tomorrow. Just make sure you're in the will of God today. Then you won't have to worry about that again. You will automatically be in the will of God for the days after that. Well, I wrote down some verses that I thought they're really life-giving, vitamin C kind of stuff that you just, when you read it and enjoy it, it brings life to you. So let me read from Psalm 32 and verse 8. The writer says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. That's his promise. What a wonderful promise. I'll read it again. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. We say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. God will guide you. God will direct you. He's promised to do that. That's one of his promises. Let me read Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. I mean, who doesn't know this verse, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Let me read that again. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Have you done that? Have I done that? If I have, he will make straight my paths. In other words, I won't be here and over here and lost and struggling, but I will be directed and God will go before. That's his promise again. He'll make straight the paths. How wonderful. You know, wasn't that a great promise to the children of God that there is the promise of guidance as God would lead us and guide us? Isaiah 58 and verse 11. And the Lord will guide you continually. And I can testify to that. So led, I think of when I gave my heart to Christ, I felt that I should do that I should respond to that gospel call. And boy, the will of God begins to start shaping in your led of God. Led of God when I met my wife. Years later, just in the will of God, we were, you know, we just knew. We knew what we knew, we knew. Matter of fact, one of the reasons why we can never break up, not that we're planning on it, but we can never break up because we know absolutely that it's God's will for us to be together. That's how we know. I mean, we have no other choice because we would be out of the will of God. Val is God's choice for me. I'm her choice. Not all things work out so well, right? Her part she gets. But it's just how, so I can say, back in those days, led. In those younger, we were just married, led. By the way, last night marked a milestone for us. And Richard can testify to this, that on Halloween, 29 years ago, we arrived here. We thought the fireworks was for us. Because on the prairies, they don't have that. You know that. I don't know where it starts, Fernie or something. I don't know where it comes across the mountains. But we arrived here with Glenn and Tracy Ryland. 29 years. Boy, where'd the time go, right? What happened there? It's so fast, so quick. But that's, we were led. Led of God. There is something special, something beautiful about that. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, we just want to follow Jesus wherever he takes us. He said, he will not walk in darkness. If you walk with Jesus, you will not walk in darkness. You won't be off the road and out of luck and out of everything. You'll never be there. You'll be in the will of God, doing the things that please the Lord. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. People who are led by the Lord have a light that goes with them, and they follow it, and they're guided. So that's all good, you might say. So those are promises. Yes, they're promises of God. I think we've proven them to be true. But there's still the, you know what somebody said, at the bottom of every message, at the bottom of every sermon, he said that pastors or whoever speaking should put the words, how? How? That's true, but how is it true? What do we do next? How does that work out? Well, let me give some suggestions. You may have come up with your own, and that would be fine if you found that to be helpful. So let me talk about how to receive God's guidance. Oh, by the way, I think the fleece is sometimes new Christians, baby Christians, it helps them. But it's not really one of the strong things. God can use it. You know, the fleece was, they wet it on one side and flipped it over and it was dry and it was wet and then it was dry. If it's wet, I'm going to come. If not, I won't do that. It works, but it's not the most reliable. That's just a thought. You can talk about that over coffee. But here it is. Number one, our motives must be pure. Our motives must be pure. Luke chapter 11, if you turn there, I think there's something very special about that, if I can just take a moment here. And verse 11, verse 33, okay. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, and so those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, then your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness, and then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. It will be wholly bright as when a lamp sets its rays, gives you light. What is all that about? That there's something about that you've searched your heart as much as you know, and that your motives are pleasing to the Lord. There's no, you know what I'm saying is that, Lord, I don't want any darkness in me. I don't want any things that aren't right. In other words, I want God's will. God give you, are you sure that, is that what you want? Or do you want something else? And so the motives must be pure. Otherwise, there's this kind of corruption. And how can I hear the voice of God? How can I get direction if my motive is wrong? That's a very, very strong, good reason. So first of all, you get that right. Lord, you've got good motives. Sincerity. Lord, I want to be sincere before you with no guile. Nothing in the way that would be, I'm not sure, just purity of heart and childlikeness. I think there's something about that, to have a childlike spirit that you just trust the Lord for things day by day. I think it's very pleasing to God. So number one, our motives must be pure. Number two, our will must be surrendered. Our will must be surrendered. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, I can do nothing I can do nothing on my own. I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, if that was true of Jesus, how much more must it be true of us? That we can't do anything without him. Say, Lord, it's not as though I can pull this off. I need to know your will. I need to know whether I should go into that business. I need to know whether I should continue dating that person. I need to know. Lord, would you let me know? I need to know if I should go to that Bible school. I need to know. And so, Lord, my will, I surrender everything about me to you. If this isn't of you, well, I'll come to that in a few minutes. See, an extinguished will versus a surrendered will. This is kind of foundational stuff. But I must surrender myself before the Lord. And so I say yes to the Lord. Yes to the Lord. Now, we have to always be careful. One of the dangers of seeking God's will is that there can be a rashness. You know, just something you just did on impulse. Probably more people have gotten themselves in trouble because they acted impulsively. They couldn't wait on the Lord. They just went and did that, and then it was really not good work good counsel that they received. So we say yes to the Lord. And so if we would see the Urim and the Thummim, you know what that was? That was on the priest's vest. And there would be light, some type of light. It's actually very fascinating how messages were received. And it could be God's yes or God's divine no, but either way, the light shone. It was yet dark, light, and somehow that was a guidance. And they would come to the priest and he would get direction for them. That never happened again, but it happened for that moment. So we say to the Lord, Lord, we want your divine yes. I don't want your permissive will. There's a permissive will where if you hound God enough, he will give you what you want. But you'll rue the day that you insisted on it. That's my take on it. There's just something about it that... you say, because I want it so much to be God in it, right? It's like the time we were getting our car serviced. I think it was a Mercedes dealership or something, but they also had a Toyota section. And while we were waiting on, I got in the car, and I said to the Mercedes, and I said to Val, I said, you know, I'm feeling it here. I said that maybe I should have this. And she said, yeah, right. I said, well, the smell of leather seems like it's God's will. Can you see a picture? We'd look good in there, wouldn't we? And she said, just get in the Corolla. Get out of that car and get in the Corolla now. But, you know, as far as feelings, it felt tremendous. It felt wonderful. It felt like it was me. And that this was God's will for me. He would want this for me. By the time you're done with those things, you know, you don't know which way you're going. So we got in the Corolla and went home. But it seemed like it. Therefore, we have to always be a little careful that we don't, because it seems like it that it becomes it when it may not be. So say, Lord, filter out my emotions so I don't go off in the wrong direction, Lord, by your grace. But we want the divine yes. Not the divine no, but the divine yes. Thank you, God, that you're going to guide us. You're going to direct us. And so I think if there was a sequence, as we surrender, it's take, then break, then make. We say, God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. As much as I know about you, God, and as much as I know about me, I know that if you don't guide me, I'll miss this. I'll be off track. I know you must put your hand upon me and guide me and direct me. So take me and then break me. Now, that's not a destructive thing. It's a wonderful thing. The breaking of the Lord is not to be feared. This is not like you're going to break your leg. This has to do with your whole being, that I say, Lord, so that I don't be presumptuous and full of myself, I just give myself to you. And Lord, you can break me if there's a hardness in me, if there's too much of Owen in here, if I'm pushing the agenda, then Lord, break me so that I don't do that. I surrender my will to you, and all that I know about you, I surrender to all that I know about me. Take, which brings to a break, which comes to a make. He said, I will make those paths straight for you. I will guide you. As a matter of fact, because when you, in other words, when you committed yourself to Christ, Christ committed himself to you. What a wonderful thought. That he will, he wants to guide, he wants you to know his will, that's for sure. There's not a guess that eeny, meeny, miny, moe, he loves me, he loves me not. No, none of that. He wants you to know his will on all matters. That's the wonder of walking with God, is that we walk in the light of his will. And so take leads to break, leads to make. I will make you what you want me to do in your life. So we hand ourselves ever so carefully over to him to work in us, to both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And you might be here this morning and you've got decisions to make. You've got maybe a big decision. You know, things all lie in the balance here. There is it's really big things. Like, for example, marrying somebody. Big, big stuff. Because it lasts for a long time. How you have to be carefully, and that's why there was two pastors who married us. I guess they just wanted to make sure it took. Well, there was two of them, and I remember the pastor said, "Are you sure this is part of it? Is this the will of God for your life?" Boy, you know, if you're like, "Can I make a call?" You know. Is this God's will? That's a power. And we were trepidly hanging on to each, probably holding hands together, saying, "Yes, I think so. Pretty sure." Well, we felt it was. But it was important that we knew it was God's will for us to be together as a husband and wife. And we're thankful for God's guidance on that. But it's not wrong that someone would ask that. Are you sure? This is a big decision. This is bigger than buying a Corolla. This is really big. You don't want to miss it. On any way, you don't want to miss that. And there's other decisions. You know, when you're going into a business thing of sorts, you know, where there's money is involved, and say, "Boy, I could make a lot of money on this." Yeah. Is it God's will? God's will. Do you have to ask God's will? Yeah. But I could make a lot of money. Yeah. Is it God's will? See, that's when it gets when it really gets down to real life, that you're going to make decisions that are going to affect your wife, your husband, your children, and because of that, you know, when people say, "Well, we're moving to Ottawa, or we're moving to Winnipeg, or we're moving somewhere," okay, any provisions for your spiritual life there? You were really involved at Valley Church. Now, in the new place, are you going? Are you sure that's going to, because it could affect your spiritual life immensely. You know, you go whipping off and you find you can't find a home church and you don't have the friends like you had in your last church. And you have to be very careful, brothers and sisters here, that you have to be very careful on that when you make a move, that it's not going to wipe you out in your life. In other words, the job was great, but your heart's colder than cold because you haven't been in church for 6 months. So these things, they affect us, and it's good. So number two, our will must be surrendered. That's what the point I was trying to make. Number three, it's not all prayer. It's not all just waiting on the Lord. There's some very, very practical with this, that we gather all the information that we have on that particular issue to balance out the pros and the cons. So you make a list. If I was to go ahead with that and do that, or this or that, if I was to do that, what would be the consequences of that? How good a move would that be? So the pros and the cons. Say, well, if we did that, we could do this, and there's this, and that would be there. And really, you know what it's called? It's called sanctified common sense. You don't need to pray about some things. There's no need to pray about them. It just is not necessary. God will just guide you and direct you, and it's quite all right because it's just common sense. I don't know what you think about that, but I think so. We say instead that we must be just say common sense. I'm going to check out the job market. I'm going to do this. I'm going to check on that. And then together we'll come to a conclusion whether we think this is... I've had many people over the years, hundreds of people over the years who said, would you pray with me? Because I've narrowed down my process. Now I got to make a decision. And I don't know. I'm scared spitless on this thing. I don't know. Man, they want a response from me pretty quick here. And I don't know what to do. And I say, well, what would you like to do? Well, I'd like to do this and this. Mm-hmm. You got good scripture? Yeah, I've been reading the scripture. Scripture seemed to confirm it. And I sought Christian advice. And it seems like it's too good to be true. I said, well, what makes you think that? You have to have a bad will for your life? See, I think God's will is a good will. Right? And so I said, well, why don't we just thank the Lord that he's guiding you? There's no reason. You don't have to pray anymore about this. You've given it time. You've prayed. You've sought the Lord. You've checked with your family. Why don't you just step out in faith? Whoa. Step out in faith. Yeah, that's probably the next step. Step out in faith and trust the Lord that all that information that you gathered was accurate. Now, when we do that, remember Peter in jail? There's kind of an interesting story in the book of Acts. He had been arrested, and in the middle of the night, the angel wakes him up. And light shined, light came in there. There's an angel in the jail cell. And then The angel says, put on your sandals. You know, there's lights going on and off. Angels are in your cell. Put on your sandals. Oh, and you read that. And then, by the way, don't forget to wrap your cloak. When God guides you, there will be parts of it that are so supernatural you can hardly believe it. It just seemed to be God speaking and God is showing up and confirming. And other times, he simply says, put on your shoes. Put on your cloak. You want to think, why would he need to say that to him? Was it after all these things that are happening around, you think he would just be, why don't we just fly over there? No, there's some things that you just choose to because they're common sense things. And put your cloak on, get that, check this out, do that, whatever else it would be. So that's actually quite a, it's interesting that there would be that, the human part of it, as well as the divine part of it. So number four, we of all things, here's the big question. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? I say, God, guide me. Should I be on the football team? God, guide me. Should I do this and take that? You know, there's so many areas this applies to. But our prayer is, show me your way, Lord, show me your way. I've prayed. Matter of fact, I've had many people say, you know, I haven't really had time to pray. I said, oh boy, you need to pray about this. Don't just take for granted that it's automatically going to work out. Pray about it. Come before the Lord and see what will happen. And we say, show me your way, O Lord. And if James chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, which is most of the time, right? Most of us lack wisdom. So let him ask of God. Don't be double-minded in it. Just actually ask God for the wisdom. And so what will sometimes happen is that doors will close. It's always very disturbing when that happens, but it does happen. Doors will can close from time to time, and... when they close, everything shuts down. The reason for that is so that God presses us in closer to himself. When, you know, you're praying about a job, he said, you know, I think I'm supposed to take this job. There's a couple of jobs that I qualify for, so I think I'm going to take this one. You go down there, and they said, I'm sorry, we gave it to somebody else. That was my job, right? That was supposed to be for me. What's going on here? And it's disillusioning until you see we were been prayerful, we had conferred with other people, we had waited on the Lord, and this closed. You have to believe that God, we want him to open doors, but we never want him to close doors. My point is that God often closes doors. Now, he doesn't, you don't have to, you know, I think he will suffice with a small voice. Sometimes people want their fingers slammed into the door. No, it's, doors can open or close, and that's a very wonderful thing. And I know a fellow that he applied for a ministry position. And so they did an interview, and they were impressed with him, but they gave it to another person. I was part of this process. I knew something about it. This brother was so angry that he said, that guy stole my job. Well, I don't think he stole your job. He stole it. He stole my job. That was supposed to be for me. I said, God could have stopped that if he wanted to. He didn't. God didn't stop that. Someone else took it. He said, he stole it. I said, see, to me, that, by the way, that brother was out of sorts for years over that. He thought, instead of saying, Lord, I prayed for your will. It's changed from what I thought it was going to be. So I'm going to trust you. Take one more step, right? Trust God, take a step. So it's just not the same way the way you thought it was going to be. So what we do is we put the matter absolutely into God's hands. Say, God, then you must have something good for me apart from this. This is to see if I'm going to trust you, but I'm looking only to you, and I will absolutely place myself into your hands. And then there's lastly, one of the most perhaps difficult things is to watch for God's guidance. And what you do is you take, as it were, the divine fingerprints. And you sprinkle, speaking spiritually, by the way, fingerprints all around each day to see if God has left any traces there, to see what he's done. Is there any guidance? So you watch for God's guidance. And even though everybody is putting pressure on you to make a decision, you won't move suddenly on that. You're just going to check to see if it seems like we're on track here. So we have the Egyptians behind us, the seas in front of us, and of course, about that time, you know, like I remember even coming here, the group of churches that invited us to come, and we didn't know what to do. We were happy where we were, but this seemed to be something good here in Lynn Valley, and I remember what to do. Stan Powers called, and he said, you got to make up, man, we've got decisions to make here. Now there's pressure. Now we got to make a decision. Oh, what to do? Well, you must stand still if you don't know the will of God. You have to just stand still. You don't want to proceed too quickly on that. So we must stand still and see the salvation of God. If you don't know what to do, do nothing. The pressure is on all the time from people, but do nothing. Trust God, continue to trust, and watch what will happen. He will guide and he will direct. The steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of Numbers. And there's a wonderful Numbers chapter 9. I won't read it all because it's quite lengthy. But you make sure you read this in your devotions if you're looking for something to read. I'll break in at verse 20. It starts at verse 15 about the cloud covering the tabernacle. At the command of the Lord, they camped. And at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. Now, when you go back to verse 15, it was the cloud would always move, and the flame, fire would move, and they were not allowed to do anything to advancement until the cloud moved. And so that's even here this morning. When you say the cloud's moving, maybe it is. The glory is moving, and they would pack up everything, and they would follow, and then they would stop. They would fall, and they'd stop, and there would always be the stopping and the going, waiting for the Lord to take the next move. the cloud lifted, they would move. The cloud would stop. I think that's how it is with God's will in our lives. It's important that you be doing, like even so, even getting involved in a church. There's maybe somebody says, listen, we'd like you to teach this or do this. And you say, you know, can I pray about that just for a day or 2 days? Can I just do that? Would you mind if I just prayed about that? And we say, no, that would be fine. What's that? You say, well, I've got lots on my plate, and I just want to make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do. Boy, you can really honor that. I say, sure. You get back to us, yeah, I got the green light, the cloud. I think I'm okay if I do that. Is it, and the reason it writes it, in the past, I take on too much because I don't say no. And he said, I have to be careful that I don't step beyond the level of my anointing, that I'm doing this and I'm doing this, and I said yes to everything. Now I can't pull off anything. So I think, yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We only move when the cloud moves. And so you give yourself some space for the Lord and say, Lord, if you're in this, just give me a word about that. Many times, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't get writing on the wall. I always marvel at people, you know, that you say, wow. God said to me, you know, I marvel at you that he said so much. Because I find he doesn't say much at all. I'm very active about it, but the Lord isn't so much. The Lord said this, the Lord said, are you sure? I find it more helpful to say, it seems to me this is what God is saying. Seems. But I don't know for sure. And I'm talking about 40 years. I find that it's a precious thing to get a word from God, because he doesn't talk as often as some people think he does. And there's a reason for it. He's glad to guide me. But what he wants is me. What he wants is you. That's what he's into this thing for. He's guiding you and directing you to shape you and mold you, shape me and mold me into the shape that he wants me to be. And it's a wonderful thing. And so as we yield to God, it's the yielding that's the most important part. I'm going to open this in just a couple of moments to see your confirmation of this, but it's a promise that God says, I will never forsake you. I will guide you. I will guide you. And I'm so grateful for the guidance of God. And I'm anticipating him guiding me in the days ahead. Are you doing the same? That you're anticipating the direction of God. So give us something fresh this morning that you heard. We'll just take a few moments. It won't take too long. Louder. Let me, yes. So he's willing to guide us. Okay, somebody else. Yes. It seems like it from our perspective, doesn't it, though? Yes. Yeah, but it's not. Yeah. Anybody else? Of course, the obvious side of that is there's no fool like an old fool. speaking generally, of course. But it's... but you know, it should be getting easier. I think shouldn't it though, in a way, because it's progressive, this thing, learning to walk with God, praying with people that they would find the will of the Lord. But if you're willing to, you will know. Take one more, please. Yeah, I concur 100% with you. It gets in the way. But if we press in, we will know, I think. Yeah. Did I see somebody over here? Maybe not. How many are in the throes of a decision now that's fairly substantial? Not life-changing, but just issue. Yeah. Yeah. Well, why don't we just pray? Carl, why don't you come up? And let's pray that the Lord will... how about a couple of old fools to stand again? Yes. That's great.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Simon goes away for one Sunday, the whole thing falls apart.
He's gone for 5 weeks.
Five.
Lots of time.
Just stand together. You know... I think as we look across here at you, dear people of our church, nothing gives greater joy to each other when we know that we're doing the will of God, right? That you're being obedient to God's will. It's the most wonderful thing of all. Here we are on journeying together. And I'm going to ask Carl just to pray that over, that as we journey together, that we will have the joy of praying for one another, encouraging one another, and leading people and guiding people towards God's perfect will. That they'd look back and say, that was really helpful for me in my life. So if you are here and you were one of the folks that put your hand, just we're not looking around, just lift your hand again before the Lord as Carl leads us in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I don't think there'd be a person here who wouldn't freely admit that we do seek your will in our lives. And I know from my own experience, so often, not patient, when I'm acting in my own will, I mess things up. I know also, Lord, that when I trust you, I get kind of impatient.
Yes.
Things seem to fall into place.
Yes.
Even more than I could ever understand.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah.
Your spirit to guide us and seek your wisdom and discernment in our lives. And we ask you to make a new way of understanding your will for us, Lord. Help us to turn to your word and help us to be sensitive to your spirit. Have eyes of discernment.
Yes, yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 And Lord, would you guide us as a church that we would know what to do through November and December and January and February into the new year? We want to be on track. We want to be doing what pleases you. So thank you for the promise of your guidance as a church. And we bless you for that, and we praise you. And Lord, for the person that's discouraged today, we remember them, we pray for them. Help them. May they know that you're with them of a truth. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Carl. Yeah, amen. I'll invite you out to the patio, if you would, for some coffee. It's all ready to go. It'd be nice to see you out there.